Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
And Mary, I don't know if we have enough time on our show for the title of this movie.
It's a little convoluted.
The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. Mary, what is that about?
Well, the title is derived from a group of Channel Islanders set during World War II in England, on Guernsey Island in particular, and it develops when they are trying to make it home late one night under German occupation and curfew.
Yes.
And they have to make up a tale as to why they are out. And it ends up being they have a literary group called the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
And you know what's so amusing, Mary? The Nazis are not the Nazis we really know. These guys are way too benign. In fact, one guy even vomits on the boot. Of one, and nothing happens. So I think it's an indication of the kind of upbeat movie we really have going here.
It's much more upbeat than you would think the original premise would be. Both World War II and really the story starts at the post-World War II era,
exactly.
In 1946 London.
Yes. Okay, very good. Yes. It reminds me of another film that I loved that also came out on Netflix, and both of these, I think, are Netflix originals, Summerland.
Yes, which you recently reviewed.
Yes, right. And very, very similar. In fact, even Tom Courtney is in both in both of them.
And I haven't seen Summerland, so I have to ask.
Oh, you must see it.
I know,
I must see it, right,
your recommendation.
Oh, I would do. See, I'm a sucker for this. This is all sentiment. I mean, this is the kind of old-fashioned film that either the Brits or the Americans would make, that we would flock to when I was a kid.
Aww.
And just feel so good about it, learn a little bit about World War II, a little bit about the Channel Islands, and let our heroine go in the direction that we know she's going to go. Both of these strong women.
Very strong women.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, where is, like, in Summerland, the hub of this is her relationship with a little boy. Now we have our Lily James, who does a terrific job. Boy, is she good.
As Juliet Ashton.
Wow.
She's wonderful and is the main character and the heroine in this story.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for her anchor, part of the development of the story is also the development of where her anchor truly lies.
Mm.
She's a single female writer at a time where that's incredibly challenging, and many women wrote under pseudonyms, male pseudonyms, to be specific, at that time. And so she's written an incredibly popular comedic series of books about Bickerstaff, who's kind
of
a bumbling...
Is he Bickerstaff or something? Yeah.
He's a bumbling soldier during the war. It becomes very popular, but she's searching for more as a writer. And but also, with both of her parents being deceased, she's searching, I think, for her footing in the world. And through this random letter she receives from one of the founding members of the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, she starts a correspondence that actually leads her to that island and to meet the people and hear their story during the war of how this literary society came to be. And so I think the story unfolds as a way of her journey towards finding her anchor and her home and the people that she truly identifies with, despite her success, her London life. She has a very charismatic man pursuing her who asks her to marry him. And it kind of challenges her as to where does she truly belong in the world.
Yeah, and I think he's a GI or maybe a diplomat. I forget who he is. I can't quite get that.
He's affiliated with the American military.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing a lot of, I don't want to say undercover work, but kind of, he's able to find things out.
He's a handsome guy.
He is, played by American actor Glenn Powell, who many may recognize as playing John Glenn in Hidden Figures.
Oh, good, wonderful. Well, the thing about this, of course, is the minute we meet him, we know he's doomed. Right? You know, he takes possession of her by putting the ring on just as she's leaving for Guernsey.
Right. And he also is very possessive in that kind of saying, I'm allowing you to go.
Oh, yeah, right. Let her go.
Yeah, let her go. Even,
does she pick up on that?
I don't know if she did, but I certainly did.
Oh, and I did too. Yeah, that's a great point. And so that's the triangle is a formula. But I'm really just comfortable with it.
I'm comfortable with it too, because I also think it wasn't naive enough to ignore the circumstances through flashbacks as she learns the story of the Channel Island and the occupation during World War II. It's told during flashbacks, and it's very real. I mean, there are people who are arrested. There are people who die.
Yes, yes.
There are people who disappear. There's conflict between the Channel Islanders, some who side with the Nazi occupation or do what they need to do to get along to survive. And there are those who very quietly protest or are clearly very angry and bitter about it. And it's not naive, and it doesn't whitewash that.
No, and I think you're so right. One of the things I appreciate is they don't hammer you with anything. They kind of let the story unfold without the filmmakers or the original novelists, the two novelists, if they're picking up correctly on them. They're not hammering home, for instance, you mentioned you alluded to the kind of feminist undertone here, and I think it's there. But
I
one of the
agree.
Pleasing things about this is that you're not getting hammered with it.
No, it's a great story, and it's a great storytelling. And you referenced the book, which I actually
have
read twice. It's just a great. It's a book that I've turned to when, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, when I wanted a really great story to just fall in love with all over again. And even though if you've read the book, you know that it's told in a series of correspondence and letters. So you wonder, how are they going to translate that into the film?
Thank you, yeah.
And I found that the translation, even though it's in a different medium and there are artistic edits made, for instance, Juliet has two very good friends, Sydney, her publisher and longtime friend, and then her longtime female friend, Sophie, they combine into one character the editor, Sydney. There's no Sophie in the film.
Because Matthew Good is so good as her publisher.
I'm crestfallen
to find out he's gay. Oh, I mean.
Well, maybe that was the Sophie element coming in. I'm not
sure. It could be, yeah. But
they combined it into one character. So, but that being said, in your reference to did it do justice to the novel? I think it did. And I think it did justice to the characters, the true facts as they unfold in their lives, and also their true natures really came through in the film. And that was pleasing to see, because so often when you see it, when you love a book and you see it brought to the screen,
Mary,
can be crestfallen that it doesn't come across. And I think in this case, it does come across, especially for the characters' truths.
It's always important for me not to read the novel before I see the film.
Well, I didn't know they were going to make film. I read this long ago.
I know. But for me, if I knew that, if you had recommended the movie, I wouldn't read the novel at least till after, because I get so influenced by novel film contrasts and always digging for a difference. But I think what I like is the way you said, they can compile a couple of the characters and put them in and do it justice. One of the things that of this romantic formula that I think is pretty common in movies is the minute she sees Dossie, you also know what that arc is going to be.
Well,
duh.
Dossie is the handsomest pig farmer you will ever see in your life, and who wouldn't?
Right, okay, thank you. And he's taking care of a little girl. My gosh, Mary.
He's a wonderful man.
And again, he kind of hides his past in a sense. In other words, he's not completely on top of her with all of his background. nor is the story. It lets it as part of the mystery, because this is, in fact, a bit of a thriller, right?
There is a mystery that she helps them solve or unfold to get to the true resolution. And in the novel, Dazi is very stoic and reserved, as you would probably expect an islander,
yes,
pig farmer to be. And that's not... That doesn't come across as strongly on the film as it does in the book, but they still, again, paid homage to that truth, and I thought it was done very well. And he is a tall drink of water.
I know he is. You know, and I just look at it and I just laugh. I say, well, okay, guess I know where this is going to go, right? Yeah, let's put all the pig farmers in the world standing along, and this guy is the best of the lot. What about the cinematography?
Oh, it is a gorgeous film. And I'm really sorry that the film was released theatrically in 2018 in the UK. And I'm so sorry it wasn't released theatrically in the United States. It is available through Netflix exclusively. And it was gorgeous to watch on a smaller screen in the home. But I do wish I could have seen it on a larger screen.
It is the very same, and you're going to love it with Summerland.
Oh, good.
Because that's the the Dover... Essex coast there, and the White Cliffs are beautifully photographed. And this one is, you know, there's a question as to whether they even were able to film on Guernsey.
Well, I read the credits all the way through to the end, and it did say it was filmed on location.
Okay, because the major part is Cornwall and Devon, where they've done the major. And I heard they had difficulties, technical difficulties, with Guernsey, but I'm happy to hear that, because I picked up on a couple of references to the fact that they were filming on Guernsey.
Well, and they do show several long shots of the German lookout points that were built on Guernsey Island, and those still exist.
Oh, I know.
So you do get to see those shots. How much of the character stories are actually told on Guernsey, I'm not really sure.
And I love looking at those outposts because they're so ugly. Compared with this transcendently beautiful island.
Gorgeous. We had a girls' night movie watch for this, and my friends who watched it with me were like, after the pandemic's over, let's go to Guernsey.
I know,
it's
isn't
just
it?
Lush and gorgeous.
Oh my.
And looks tranquil and peaceful, and it's gorgeous. The cinematography is lovely. The lighting, I think, enhances a lot of the storytelling, especially segments as they tell them. And the island itself and the culture of the island almost become a separate character as she comes to that island, meets with the members of the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society and learns their stories. The lighting is, you know, very relevant to the segments of the story as they're revealed, and I thought that was lovely as well. And the costuming is
oh my gosh,
incredible period costume pieces done to perfection and detail. It's
you know, Mary, this
lovely.
Is such a traditional film, but it is one whose formula I'll never get tired of. Watching the genius of selecting the right actors. I've mentioned this with you before. I'm just astonished at what a good job casting directors do on these, fitting the right person for the role. I want to cry. It's so beautiful. And then you take it, and I'm a big Anglophile, so if you can give me a photography that includes that beautiful country, I'm ready to go. I love their reserve. I love all of their characteristics.
Well, and it was put in the hands of Mike Newell, an English director who really came to fame for Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes.
And although this doesn't have that forward humor that so obviously
of
had,
course.
There's still a lot of humor in it that makes it very charming. And he's a director who's just so surprising with the breadth of material that he works with, from a romantic period piece like this to Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire to other more action dominated films. And he does such a lovely, lovely job letting this story unfold.
It's a point that I'm so favorable to about talented directors. And I remember Michael Curtis, who directed Casablanca. He also directed Captain Blood and Yankee Doodle Dandy. I mean, these are completely different films.
Yes.
How are these people?
They definitely didn't get pigeonholed by genre.
So you were so right about Newell. Well, Mary Arena. I'm saying this title again, all right?
Okay,
you mind?
Go for it.
The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. What grade do you award it?
I'm a romantic at heart. I'm giving it an A.
Oh, Mary, if I allowed us to give an A+, I probably would. But I'm going to give it an A with you. And if you and Bob decide to go to Guernsey, please let me know ahead of time, will you?
I will. Absolutely.
Back Talk is produced by John DeSando. To listen to shows, tune in to WCBE on the podcast experience.